We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Thanks to our guests, Mike Florio, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, who I now want to call like Steve Sparring Partner Pfeiffer. He was great talking about the Packers and also the Brewers, giving us the 411. And of course, the Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher, who joined us at 1225, had a lot of bear sauce and got to talk to him about being a football dad. Thanks to our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, Brandon Fryer, Jacob Stutz on Twitch, and also, of course, Connor O'Donnell. Thanks to Marshall Harris. And now we bring in the gentlemen, Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes. Hi, guys.
What up, fellas?
We are here. I like it. Lawrence, feels like it's been forever since we've been together.
Yeah, because you were like sick. And I remember you getting through that segment. I'm like, Speaks, go home.
Oh, I know. I was fighting through that a whole day. And you're like, are you sure you're all right? I'm like, I'm totally fine. Meanwhile, I could talk less and less and less.
And by the end of it, you had a cape on like Lisa Simpson. And you're like, I'm the lizard queen.
Pretty much. The acid kicked in and I went home. So exactly cold. Right. Yeah, I missed like 2.5 days of our show, had to miss Hit and Run, missed a couple Tributosaurus gigs, a throat infection. I recommend it for nobody.
Yeah, it sounded awful.
Oh, my God.
From the way you were describing it, that's not good.
It was no good.
But we're all happy that you're back.
Damn right, let's go. And then had a couple days like scheduled to be off for the All-Star break and was able to keep those and finish recuperating.
It sounds like it was wonderful.
It was quite lovely.
Saw a couple of pictures.
Yeah, we got away to a little river town where we saw Little River Band.
Nice.
And no, we didn't. We were walking through the park and reminiscing. Is that them? Is that Little River Band?
I think so.
I have no idea. You could say anything right now and I would say sure.
Robbie, look that up, would you? Thank you
He's
very much.
He's not going to look that up.
I know.
Yep, got it.
Wow. Not barking at Robbie. Yeah. Okay.
Ray, tell Robbie to look that up.
Hey,
Robbie,
you don't talk to our producers that way. Wait, Robbie has produced for you a bunch on Hit and Run.
Right, exactly. A little bit on Hit and Run.
You don't have to do that,
Pitch Robbie. Pitch
and catch.
Yeah. Swing and miss. That was
yes.
My favorite version.
It's his show with Ruben. That's right. He deserved
canceled.
It. He quit that
pitch
show.
Ah, yes,
catch.
Inside the clubhouse. Yeah.
Same difference, right? Hit and Run and Inside the Clubhouse? That's different. Those are
different shows.
Okay. Thank you, Marshall.
Speaks of his relationship with ire.
I know that one. The whole
the
thing.
The ire of Spiegel.
What is it? Amulet of Ire?
The amulet.
Yeah, the amulet
Damn
of ire.
Damn it, the amulet. I got to get on that.
You realize that the Cubs have an interstitial promo on their scoreboard called Inside the Cub House?
I did
you
not know that.
You realize they have that? And I don't think it's fair to Bruce Levine
that's
and David Haw.
That's actually hilarious.
That's copyright infringement, don't you think?
It's close. I wouldn't characterize it as copy. It's like
it's McDowell's.
It's McDowell's is exactly what it is, Marshall.
We don't use sesame seed buns over here. There's no sesame seeds.
They've
okay?
got the golden arcs.
Yeah.
Subtle
right. differences.
What if it's just a cage of like baby bears? That would be really cute.
Sure.
Inside the clubhouse.
You could argue that inside the clubhouse is just borrowing that phrase from, you know, baseball itself.
What? No. No. I refuse.
I still think they owe Bruce an apology. Marshall, is that a Meteor Man t-shirt?
Why, yes, it is.
That
Robert Townsend.
It's outstanding.
I enjoy his work.
I love Robert
He's
Townsend.
He's a Hollywood revolutionary, if you will.
Hollywood shuffle, baby.
Yes.
That changed my movie life, changed my entertainment life.
Don't stop. Do the Jerry Curl.
I'm so unfamiliar with your game, Speaks, because some movies you haven't seen, then other movies you haven't. It doesn't, I can't quite align it. Does
like
that
Star
make sense?
Wars? No. Like, yes, yes.
Meter Man, yes. Hollywood shuffle. So I'm just trying to figure out how you. How
Titanic.
Your catalog
what's
came
your,
to be.
What's your get down? That's yeah. what I'm trying to figure out.
Hollywood Shuffle, much more important to the realm of entertainment that I enjoy than, what's the one?
Predator.
Than Predator could ever be.
How dare you.
That Predator universe is still going on. It's pretty good.
But I have not seen Predator either, and I feel like I have less anxiety than I would have had otherwise.
Get to
I'm
the
not
chopper!
Saying I have less anxiety than normal. That's not true.
No.
But then otherwise, yes.
Layla, I'm down to hang out sometime and not watch Predator together.
Hell yeah.
My number two crush.
Let's have a fresca.
Exactly.
My number two crush is in that franchise, AVP, Alien versus Predator.
Sanaa?
Yeah, you know.
Oh yeah, we've got to mention this. So we talked about this forever. You know I'd been trying to do this for years, Lawrence. Movie club is happening tomorrow.
Okay, so here's the thing. Are you guys going to watch it together, or are you all watching it in your different domiciles and then comparing notes?
I think it's different domiciles.
It's definitely different domiciles. I've got a lot of vacuuming and laundry.
I got
to
boards
do.
To make. It's tough.
Okay, I just feel like there should be a small movie house, and we should go watch the program together at some point.
But it's kind of like book club because you read the book and then you get together to talk about it.
I got
so that's
you.
What we're doing.
So how's this going to work?
What's the movie?
Euro Trip.
Fun as hell.
You've seen that one.
Yeah. Okay. Scotty doesn't
fun
know.
As hell. So we will do then
she
an extension.
Died. She just died, right?
Michelle Trachtenberg.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Trachtenberg. She was a few weeks or something, maybe a month.
Scotty
yeah.
doesn't know.
Whoa, whoa. I thought it was last year.
No, it was a few months ago.
It just feels like it was last year.
It may
year.
Have been last year. Oh, okay. It could have also been a few months ago.
That we're yeah, it's July. I get it. No, but like we're excited about your trip. The program would be a good one as well.
I feel like the fact that Layla hasn't seen the program is
seen
a crime.
It. That is,
it's
yeah.
right. It's right up her alley.
Yeah, you
was it during
the
time where I had to work five nights a week, or say, you know?
No, it was when you were in high school, and probably grade school.
Oh
actually.
Yeah, then I wasn't allowed to watch it.
But I'm saying like
it has adult themes.
One of the main characters in the movie is like your avatar, because we all know that you're a middle linebacker, like. In your mind, you're a middle linebacker and basically one of the stars of the movie. Like, we live his life play in and play out, thinking all of the hearing all the things that he's thinking as he's trying to make a play.
I did want to ask Brian Urlacher about just like the dream job of linebacker, where your entire job is to just mess up
to
the
destroy.
Offense.
Well, his career was different though, because
he was a backtracker and a side to side guy using speed as opposed to the classic middle linebacker.
And he made different things look the same and the same things look different.
He was revolutionary. Like his importance to the Tampa 2, Lovey 2, Cover 2 is immense. And for everyone who tries to implement that defense going forward, you have to realize that when you look at the tape, you have to ask yourself two questions. Do you have Brian Urlacher and do you have Lance Briggs? Because if you don't, it makes it difficult to run that defense, because Lance would always go and make the plays, and he would laugh about the idea that the plays are funneled to the weak side linebacker. But Brian Urlacher's ability to backpedal 30 yards and basically turn it into the Legion of Booms defense, where it's like, oh, now there are three guys back there instead of just two. Mm-hmm. His ability to do that is unparalleled. There isn't a comp for what he did for that defense. And there still hasn't been a player. And there's a bunch of guys that I have always loved. I've loved Patrick Willis. I mean, right now, Fred Warner. I love a bunch of these guys. There's no one that does. Even Roquan, who I'm a huge fan of. No one like that. Because on top of being crazy fast, he is also 6'4.5". So you add that to what it is that you're trying to do defensively. Good luck.
That height, yeah.
Good luck on trying to make it work if you don't have players like that.
Kind of like with the Aaron Rodgers offense. It's like, well, there's so much that he does that is only his own. Can't really duplicate that just by standing next to him.
You just got
to
know if you're a wide receiver in his offense, you got to do your own research and just have your own stuff.
You got to get all the hand signals down.
And don't get it from him. You have to go find Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
You have to go track down Randall Cobb wherever he is and ask him to teach it to you.
The Oracle is in a cave. You must present him an amulet after you move the stone.
Because Aaron,
you have to knock three times on the stone.
Aaron won't bother to help you. He's not interested in helping you because he's a jackass. That's the thing about Aaron Rodgers.
He also has the potential, according to Brian Urlacher, to lead the Steelers to 11 or 12 regular season wins.
Really? Of all the questions to ask.
Brian, really? Brian and Lance going. And all those guys, they loved playing chess against Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
They loved it.
Sure.
And he loved playing against
them. Must have been really fun and challenging to do.
I mean, they actually did okay against him.
Great quarterback.
And then they no longer play for the Bears, and after that it went...
Yeah.
And also to have a true nemesis, you know, a true nemesis that you respect.
Yeah, it's like the cartoons with the Sam the Sheepdog, and they clock out. They live together, then they clock in and go head to head. You know what I'm talking about, right? Wile E. Coyote and them.
Yeah.
It's like Tom and Butch. Not Jerry so much, but Butch.
Butch, yeah.
I don't remember Butch.
The dog.
The dog, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know, you had to deal with that, you know. Bugs Bunny and Foghorn Leghorn, you know, that was the thing. Anyway, or the Cubs and the Brewers.
Bring
it in back!
Land it. Land that plane. Land that plane.
Good old Spark called him a traitor today.
T-R-A-D-E-R.
Oh, they're gonna make moves this time?
No, Sparky called Craig Council a traitor again.
Oh, that's still a thing? That's still going on?
It was off. It was just like kind of subtly slipped in there.
Put a quarter in Sparky, and he went off on Craig Council.
It hurt Craig. It hurt
Craig.
It
really did.
It did hurt him. Yeah. We were at his introductory press conference.
Well, but I mean, like when he went back for his first time there, and he got the tribute video and all the boos, and then when he was talking about it, it clearly got to him. Man, it's a Wisconsin kid.
If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
Yeah, Whitefish Bay.
There was an opportunity for you to give him all. That doesn't count. Like you don't have to worry about any sort of tax or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You could have just paid the man if you wanted to keep him. Right. Here's a beautiful thing. It seems to have worked out for everyone.
Clearly, it's going to be a fun back half of the summer for the two cities that are separated by very much not space.
Yeah, it's only a question of like whether it really works out for Craig in the long term, because you can't really fully go back, you know? You can't fully go back and live out the rest of your dotage there fully embraced when you're the guy who left.
Yeah, but I'm sorry, what's his yearly salary again?
Yeah. Well, sure.
He can go live somewhere
that'll
else.
That'll help. Mm-hmm. And by the way, his son got drafted.
It did get drafted by Arizona. That's
How about
pretty
that?
Cool. That's pretty cool. That because it, I know Craig wanted him to get drafted, but he didn't want to like put pressure on the org to do the thing. You know, it's like that's got to be a weird spot.
Very weird spot. Like it's very possible that Craig Council could have walked into a meeting where his son was being discussed.
Yeah, it's weird, and it's not like. And usually it happens. You can get your kid drafted, even if you're Ron Shuler, and you get your daughter drafted.
Well, also, it can't be that awkward. I mean, LeBron seemed to manage around it.
Well, he seemed to be comfortable with that awkwardness.
Can you imagine? Like, you know how we do the fanfic every now and then? Can you imagine, like, Intimidator Craig Council?
Actually, like, I can.
Like, using the batting stance that he used to have and be like, boom, boom, with the bat. Open the door.
Hire, Lawrence, hire.
You're drafting my son.
That's how we go.
Hey,
in
Will
there.
Myers got a little bit of that, huh? I was noticing that yesterday.
In terms of the style, yeah, right up top, up tippity top.
I hadn't really noticed until
he
then.
Does. Yeah, he does now that you say it.
I felt super old watching the All Star game just because Jacob Wilson was at the plate and they had
Jack
and who I used to cover mic'd up. And I was like, dang, your kid's like out here. Really,
yeah,
that was a cool moment.
I mean, how many holiday kids are going to get into the league here?
Think about how it feels for all of us that used to watch Alec Thomas just as a little kid run around on 35th and Shields. And then even though he was there in the clubhouse and he played at Mount Carmel, the White Sox didn't draft him. Even though his dad was the trainer for the White Sox.
And Alan was there. Alan was there as part of the reunion over the weekend.
Yeah.
Good for Alan to get
Love
over there.
Love AT.
Yeah, man. Can I mention a movie thing that's happening this weekend, by the way?
Predator.
There is a movie called Ephus, like The Pitch. It's a film by Carson Lund, and it is playing at the Music Box Theater. It has before, but it's returning for a one-time screening on Saturday morning.
Are you going?
I am going to be the moderator of a panel after the screening.
Is El Duque on the panel?
No, but it is. I'll tell you who's on the panel is the writer and the actor for the movie Ephus, Nate Fisher, and one of the guys who has a cameo in it, which is former Red Sox pitcher Bill Spaceman Lee.
Is John Birdie going to be on the panel? Because he was out there throwing an Ephus pitch a couple weeks ago.
What about Rizzo?
No, it's Bill Lee, who's an unbelievable, crazy character, who's going to be there on Saturday morning. So Red Sox-Cubs weekend, Ephus at the Music Box on Saturday at 11:30, and then a panel after with Bill Lee and the writer Nate Fisher, and with me, Matt Spiegel. So come on over to the Music
Box. So no Doug DeCenzo.
No.
Okay.
No, no, none of those people who actually threw Ephuses. Bill Lee was a really good pitcher and a very strange and wonderful dude.
Can't I wait did not to remember him.
Can't wait to meet him.
Matt, I can't wait for your other thing that you're moderating. The Baseball After Dark with Michael Bush.
You did Football After Dark. Now I get to do Baseball After Dark.
I hand the mythical After Dark emceeing duty to you.
I'm looking for a dark cloak.
It all feels like it harkens back to what was the thing that the stuff that you used to do with Lance and with, you know, where it'd be like an hour and a half.
The Miller Lite Top Draft Show.
Top Draft. It feels akin to the Top Draft.
I remember the Top Draft Show.
Most of those shows are great, and then there were ones that weren't great, and then there were ones that were confusing, like with Martellus Bennett. Where he would show up, and I'd be like, Martellus, do you want to talk about football today? And he'd be like, no.
And you guys would do what? Comic books for a good long while?
We talk about cartoons. We talk about art. We talk about anything but football. And even the Miller Lite Top Drafts with Dustin Byfuglien. Those are great, too. Mm-hmm. Dustin, do you want to talk about hockey? No. I want to talk about fishing and weed.
Okay.
Martellus Bennett, too. Like, I remember when he was a high school, not only football, but basketball recruit.
Yeah.
And he's truly one of those guys where the job is athlete. It was going to be whatever you're the best at that you excel in professional sports. And then, like, person who observes life is really the main identity there.
Yeah, he's one of the more fascinating guys to have come through Chicago.
I will never forget shooting a charity basketball game. Like, I was filming it for my TV station, and we're trying to figure out where Martellus Bennett is, why he isn't playing with the rest of the athletes, and it's because he's stolen somebody's pom-poms and is doing the routine with the cheerleaders on the side.
I'll never forget when he choke-slammed Kyle Fuller during a practice and held him down like he was a child.
Mm-hmm. That's probably not advisable.
No, and then Brandon Marshall tried to intervene.
Oh, I remember that. There was video of that, actually.
Yeah, I was standing right there. Yeah. And then Martellus was like, you can get some, too. And Brandon was like, okay, yeah. I'm going to be over here.
Lawrence's football clock has been ringing. Yeah, the football alarm clock has been ringing. He feels it right here in late
You're ready,
July.
Huh?
Do your athlete names start to overlap? That's what happens to me. I start naming athletes in other sports prematurely. Because I'm like, oh, so-and-so.
My brain is repopulating football.
Yeah, it starts to re-download.
Yep. So that's unfortunate for everyone.
Why is that?
Because, you know, the baseball season is real. Like, this is real.
It's
like,
not last year.
It's this Cubs thing is real, and it's felt like they've been in control of the division the whole time.
They have. They've been in first place for 103 days at this point. Maybe 102 days. They have an 18-game lead at the break for the first time since 2016.
Not an 18-game lead.
No, they're 18 games
18
over
500.
Because if you do this... Oh, the Brewers are right there. Yeah,
you don't have to turn that far.
Good.
You just turn like this.
But that's what I mean. Like, it's felt like the Cubs have been in control, yet here are the Brewers, and they're like, oh, we just found this dirty penny that hit us a game-winning home run. And
not
also
a dirty penny.
And then tied a game for us that we ended up winning against the Dodgers. All of a sudden, he knows how to hit.
You guys had your meeting during this time? Or maybe not. No, actually, I think... Sparky was early enough. Did you hear Tanny Sparky hopefully talking about Andrew Vaughn, the hope that he had? And he was like, man, if we can get Andrew Vaughn to hit and then blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know how that feels. Yeah. I know exactly how that feels.
You'll spend years thinking of that. But the Brewers are a better organization than the White Sox. They actually might get Andrew Vaughn to hit.
Also,
I don't know, but like sometimes though the player just knowing he's in a better organization,
change of scenery.
He listens more, he focuses better, and his mindset is different.
And you end up winning a World Series as a team's closer because of that.
Yeah,
a new voice is always helpful when you're going through a bad time for a long, long time. Yeah. And that's what Andrew Vaughn's been going through. Let's be very clear. The best part about our talk with Sparky. At the end of the interview, he says, thanks, guys, for not bringing up Giannis. I said, why would we bring up Giannis? We know what it is and what it ain't in Chicago. There's no shot at Giannis coming to Chicago. There's no reason for us to talk about Giannis.
You know what Giannis tells me, even if you just look at it from a salary standpoint alone, given the Bulls situation. Second apron.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams that are dealing with that financial reality, and it's made it so that one particular restricted free agent doesn't really have some bargaining leverage out there. So he's just kind of sitting there waiting for the Bulls to bid against themselves, and yet, so far, they have not.
Well, that's,
hopefully that continues.
It's interesting you say that, Lawrence, because last I checked, the way the free market works is if you're good enough, somebody will find a way to make space to be able to pay you.
That is correct, Marshall. Hmm. They'll pay you $1 million a game, Devin Booker.
Yeah. Hmm? We've got a bit of a free market to discuss today regarding the NFL stuff, which we're going to get to in the 4 o'clock hour. But we're going to do a lot of baseball early, hit that All-Star game and what the hell happened last night, what that thing was, and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, you sound displeased.
Today. No, I just it's worthy of a conversation.
Okay.
With that, I think Kyle Stowers, speaks for a lot of us. And you'll hear him in the open from Tanny in a couple of minutes.
We're also going to have a deep conversation about Scottie Scheffler. And some of the things that he said about what motivates him and what doesn't. We're going to do that. We're going to talk NFL collusion. We're going to give Spiegs an opportunity to get a crack at that really crazy story. Danny Parkins, people have been wanting to hear from Danny. They will at 4:20 today. Rob Bradford is going to join us at 3:25. We're going to talk some baseball and all-star experiences with him. When we return, we are going to talk about our group and individual reaction to the All-Star game and its ending. That is after Tanny's Open, which is next here on The Score.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.